Well, praise the Lord. Listen, I'm going to talk to you tonight about developing a sense of timing. And somebody said, what? That's a strange subject. Well, it is. But have you ever been someplace and suddenly you realize you was in the wrong place at the wrong time? Anybody ever been there? You know, sometimes we need to develop a sense of timing. Even in the natural, we need this, but we also need to do this within the spiritual realm. In business, people miss opportunities because they did not know when to do something at the right moment. You know, successful relationships depend upon people being in the right place at the right time. I know many years ago, Lynette and I were vacationing in Memphis, Tennessee, and we went down to the Sun Studio where they record, Elvis recorded, and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis and Carl Perkins. That's where they all got started. And they were talking to us and telling us about that there are a lot of singers in Nashville that are better than some of the people that are stars or that have become stars, but they have never been in the right place at the right time to get discovered. That's what the producer told us. You know, in our own lives, a sense of timing is very important in the natural and in the spiritual. You know, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. I was traveling with Dad. I was about 5 years old, I guess. And we were visiting some people, and we got up and went outside because we were traveling. Dad was in traveling ministry. He only pastored four churches, and in between we'd travel, and he'd be in the traveling ministry before he went full traveling ministry and never pastored again in 49. But we were there visiting, and we got up, and we went outside. We were at the car. In fact, me and Mom and Sis were already in the car, and he was standing out there talking to it was a minister friend. He was talking to him, and then all of a sudden he just said to us, he said, listen, we can't go now. So let's go back in the house. So we went in the house for about 15 to 20 minutes. He said, okay, we can go now. We got in the car, and when we got on the highway, we came up on a tanker truck that had turned over and spilled fuel all over the place, and there were five or six cars that were all, you know, engulfed in flames. And he said, if we would have left whenever we started to, we'd have been right here when this happened. You know, you need to develop a sense of listening to the Spirit on the inside and get the timing down. You know, and as I go through this, I want you to realize, I want you to put it together using it naturally and spiritually, okay? Because that's what I like to do. I like to talk to people where it helps them in both sides of their life, because we live in both lives at the same time. We're living our spiritual life with God, but we're living a natural life right here on earth, right? And I have noticed that the same principles that make you a success in the natural will also make you a success in the spiritual areas. You know, in various things, timing is vitally important. And how many of you have ever played on a sports team? Football, baseball, whatever, basketball, volleyball. You know, in playing those games, timing is very important. because everybody has to be in the right place at the right time doing what the right thing, or otherwise it don't work. How many understand what I'm talking about? You know, if I'm running out, I'm a wide receiver, I'm running out for a pass, I'm supposed to be at a certain spot at a certain time, or else that poor quarterback back there is going to get hammered. You know, it's timing. And also, that's why you practice, because he has to get the timing of my speed, how fast I run, because different players run at different speeds. And, you know, timing is important. And farmers, they know this. They know the seasons. And they have a sense of timing of when to plant. And I asked my grandpa one time, because we was out in the corn field, and I said, "Papa, how do you know when it's time to harvest, to get this, you know, the crop in?" He said, "Well, son, I just know." You know, that's the way we need to get in the spiritual world with our spirit. You know, we just know it's time to move, or it's time to stand still. You know, as we read in Ecclesiastes 3:1, this is talking about timing right here. Solomon said these: "For everything there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up." I'm reading out of the New Living Translation in case you want to know. "A time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." I mean, that says it pretty good right there. You know, it's sad to see people laughing when at the wrong time. But it's also sad to see people weeping when it's the wrong time. You know, he said there's a time to embrace and there's a time to turn away. I've seen someone who doesn't know when a relationship is over and they just keep trying to be with the other person. And actually, in some places, it turns into harassment and stalking the other person. They, you know, people know what time it is to get things right and done right and achieve results. You know, God planned for some things to happen at a certain time. And it's important to God. Psalm 75:2 says in the New Living, God says, "At the time I have planned." At the time I have planned, "I will bring justice against the wicked." See, God knows what he's doing. He knows that. And we need to keep that in mind and quit being so thinking about, "Well, look what they're doing and what they're doing." Hey, God is in, he will judge people in his due time. It's not up to you to get into somebody's personal life. Take care of yourself and with God, and let the other guy take care of itself. Somebody said to me one day, they said, "Well, you have a lot of traveling ministers out of your church." I said, "Yeah, I do." And they said, "Well, I used to have some, but I won't I I wanted to tell them what to do. I said, what? He said, yeah, if they're in my church, I'm going to tell them where they're supposed to go, where they're not, what they're supposed to. I said, that's what's the matter with you. You try and take care of everybody else's ministry and yours is going to pot. Come on now. I got a lot of traveling ministers that travel out of this church. Now, I'm available if they come and ask me about some things and want to know some things, but I'm not going to try to tell them how to run their ministry. That's between them and God. Now, I've seen some of them that have missed some things because of timing, but that's not my responsibility. And it's not your responsibility to take care of Brother Joe. Let Brother Joe take care of himself. Maybe I should have used another name, but I'll use Bill. Now, you know, 2 Peter said in 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slack, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, God said, at the time I planned, I'll bring justice against the wicked. You know, some people are talking, well, I don't see why this, that, and the other. God is long-suffering. He wants to see everybody repent, and he's going to give them more chances than you will. In the church many times, and I've been in this all my life. I was born one Sunday and in church the next, so I've been here all my life. You know, people get, well, they're not doing right. God ought to take care of them. Well, hey, let God take care of them and you take care of yourself. Anybody ever been in a place where some people have said that or done that? Yeah, I see a few hands, you know. In the natural, we need to develop a sense of timing as far as our words are concerned. When to speak and when not to speak. Didn't he say something about that over there a while ago? Then in Proverbs 15, it's Solomon again. That's Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. In 15:23 of Proverbs, he said, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Hello? Sometimes when you say something, it makes matters worse. At other times, you should speak up. See, we're talking about timing. Now, some people think they should never say anything to confront anybody because they're walking in love. Well, I don't think that's walking in love. Now, what the Bible says? The Bible says, speak the truth with love. Go to Ephesians 4:14. Go to Ephesians 4:14. I'm watching. See when people get there turning in their Bibles. Some of you with your devices, you can get there quick. And Miss Lynette down here, she's doing it with both her Bible and her device. Okay, we're ready? Everybody got it? Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, you see, it's talking about here, you speak the truth, but not in arrogance, and not harshly. I've seen people speak the truth to somebody, but in correction in the church, but it wasn't done in love. You know, you can speak the truth in love. Come on now. Everybody, this is not a good time to get quiet. But I'm talking about speaking up when you should speak up and keeping your mouth shut when you should keep your mouth shut. Now, if a leader is speaking to somebody else and you're standing by, the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut. Don't go over and try to interrupt and horn in. Come on. On your job, you don't do that either. You know, sometimes people know some things and know what to say that will help you and others if you will listen. Now I'm going to another subject. Now, see, I'm talking about timing and everything. If we look at this, some of the leaders of the tribe of Issachar had a sense of timing, and this enabled them to lead Israel in the right way. In 1 Chronicles 12, I'm talking about having a sense of timing in many different areas. You know, we started off there and with Ecclesiastes there, and we had all of what Solomon had to say there, and there's quite a bit there. If you really read that and do some thinking about it and just don't skim over it, there's some real stuff there. See? It says that there's a time to cry and a time to laugh. Some people need to learn that one. Okay. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives, and all these men understood the signs of the time and knew the best course for Israel to take. You know, you need to realize that if you're not in charge and the leaders are leading, then they are understanding the times and learn how to follow. Somebody said, well, what if they're not doing right? Well, if you can't follow them, go find somebody else to follow. Don't cause a problem. You know, actually, they helped Israel be successful and prosperous. You know, around here, we have a staff meeting with our staff. And we talk about different things and get a consensus. It's not just one man rule. Bill, Tad, Marvin, Craig, me, Lynette, Denise. We meet together and we talk about things. It's not just I know we've talked about some things, and I've said to them, well, you know, I don't think this is the right time for that. Hadn't I, Brother Bill? But then later on, I say, hey, I think the timing might be right on this. Or I've come up with something, and they said, I don't think that's a good deal. And we talk about it, and I say, okay. See, it says here 200 leaders of the tribe, they knew what to do to help Israel. You see, we need to learn to realize that to be successful, that we need to learn how to follow leaders. And I believe that we need to be praying for our leaders of this nation, that they would have wisdom to know the time to deal with stuff and to do things. We need to pray for our governor, Governor Stitt. I know him personally, and It's a well-known fact. I preached for his father in Bruton, Alabama in, 1973, was it, I believe. And then his father came to Norman, Oklahoma and pastored there until he retired. And Governor Stitt is he's a wonderful Christian. And he needs our prayers to lead for our state. He needs to know the right time for things and the way to move. Come on now. Timing is important. The timing is important when it comes to moving with God. Here, Habakkuk 2:3 says, this vision is for the future time. It describes the end. It will be fulfilled. It seems slow in coming. Wait patiently, for it will surely take place and not delay. Now, God is speaking here about future things. God may talk to you about something. You know, God talked to me about some things. And you know, I was praying as an 18, 19-year-old in the prayer room in the dorm at Southwestern Assembly of God College in Waxahachie. That would have been about 1959, I guess. And I saw myself standing on a platform, and there was just a sea of people out there. Well, you know, I just said, well, maybe that was my own imagination or something. And a few years ago, when I went to Africa, that was fulfilled. I stood in front of an audience of around 2 million people, they said. You know, well, that was a long time. I'd actually really forgot about a whole, you know, until it happened, and then I hadn't thought much about it again until I was putting this message together this afternoon, and the Lord reminded me. He said, what people need to realize is that my timing is not based on your days. My time is based on me. And see, God may speak to you. Don't get impatient and try to make it happen. We got to realize that God says, and he says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done in Isaiah 46. But I like the way the Message Bible reads it. From the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be. All along, letting you in on what is going to happen. Assuring you that I'm in it for the long haul. I'll do exactly what I set out to do. Now, he's saying here, some people are able to sense when certain things happen in the natural, but they don't discern spiritual events. And here, Jesus said in Luke 12:54, then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, when you see the clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, here comes a shower. And you're right. When the south wind blows, you say, today will be a scorcher. And it is. You fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. Now, what he was talking about was that they could not recognize him as their Messiah. That's what he was recognizing. He says, "You recognize you have a sense of timing with all this other stuff, but you don't have a timing in the spiritual area." And he wept over the city of Jerusalem, and he said, "Don't you know the time of your visitation?" We learn And we need to learn sense of timing in the natural and the spiritual. You know, I have seen people move many times too quickly, and they never accomplished what they would accomplish if they would have stayed put and stayed patient. Now I'm talking about through the years in ministry, I've seen, and I still see it today. I see pastors, because things are not going as fast as they thought it ought to go, and the church is not growing and so forth, they leave. They get impatient, leave. I told one guy not very long ago, hey, if God called you there, stay there till he says go. Yeah, but it's hard. I said, he didn't ever say it's going to be easy. He called you there to do something. So many people have been called to Rhema, and they come and they don't stay long enough for something to develop, for God to work with them, and they go too fast. And I'm sorry to say, but they accuse me and Rhema for their failure. I ain't had nothing to do with it. Neither did Rhema. You may have heard some of these people that have said that it's Rhema's fault. But you see, if they'd have stayed put, and then there's some people that stay put for a number of years, and then they move on. Tony Cook, for one. Tony Cook, he said he intended to be here, you know, forever. But then God moved him in another direction. But it was God. He didn't do it. See, sometimes you need to learn that you don't move until, if God told you to be somewhere, you still stay there till God tells you to go. I'm looking out over the audience and I see a number of people that are traveling and having meetings and doing things for God, but they stayed here, even working some natural jobs, until God moved them on. I hope it's not embarrassing, but I see Brother Danny Burton back there. He stayed around, had his body shop over here, fixing cars, coming to church all the time, being involved. But now he's out doing ministry. But he stayed here because this is where God called him. And now he's branching out. I see some people that come to Rhema and then they go out for a while and then they come back. And that's good. Because we need them back here. We need people like that. But I'm talking about a sense of timing. You know, Jesus had a sense of timing. There in John 7:8, he said, you go on. I'm not going to this festival because my time has not yet come. I guess he knew if he went to that festival that they'd take him in and arrest him, because they were always wanting to do that. And then he knew that he had to be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, he continued to teach the religious to people, and even in the synagogue after this, you read on down through 7 and into 8, and they were upset with him, but they wanted to arrest him. As you read on down through there, and you get to 8:20 then, as you read on through the rest of chapter 7 and into chapter 8, and he said, and John was writing here, and he said, Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in a section of the temple known as the treasury, but was not arrested because his time had not yet come. He knew when his time was come. And John then in 13:1 says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew this this hour had come, this hour, this knew that his hour had come to leave the world and return to his Father. Actually, they went to take him, but he says, they didn't take me. No one takes me, but I lay it down, talking about his life. I lay it down in myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. But he understood when the time was right. We need to develop a sense of timing so that we don't miss out on stuff, both naturally and spiritually. I pray all the time and the head of this ministry, I pray all the time for wisdom and knowledge to know when to do something and when to draw back. You know, we just didn't one day decide, okay, we're going to redo the auditorium. We just didn't one day decide that we were going to build a youth building, but we just didn't jump into it. We were 3 or 4 years, I believe, trying to figure out where to put a youth building. 7 years, she said. And we had that building all over this place, over here and over there, and I measured, and I'd get to measure, and I said, nah, this ain't right. And finally, we came up to that spot, and then we said, well, we need to build it debt-free. So the Lord gave Lynette, as we was praying, the Lord gave Lynette what we call the Isaiah Project. And remember how many of us, we raised the money we made pledges and raised the money to build that building, right? Well, as that building was ending, we knew, we could look around and see the carpet was wore out and the pews were, some of the pews you sat out in them and you thought you was going to fall through because the springs were gone. Any of you ever sat down on any of those old pews like that? Yeah. And we were just thinking one day and we said, well, we ought to just keep the Isaiah Project going. And as the Lord was, you know, the timing is right. And refurbish everything. And so we just kept the Isaiah Project going as everybody give what they could each week. Look what all we've done. But see, the timing was right. We just didn't jump in. See, patience sometimes. You need to realize patience. You know, you need to, one of the things that will help you is to spend your time renewing your mind with the Word. Jesus told his disciples, said, you say 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are ready and ripe for harvest. Well, we know that Jesus was talking about salvation there. But this can be applied in other areas as well. Sometimes people are talking about stuff, but they need to wake up and look around and see that some things are already happening. Quit talking about it and do it. Hello. The Word of God will help us to see things and give us the timing so we don't miss opportunities. Anybody getting anything out of this? Another thing we need to learn is to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14, we all know this. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are children of God. you know, we need to learn to be, listen to the Spirit on the inside of us. If you want to know more about it, I got a book back called Listen to Your Heart. And that's what it's talking about. If you listen, even for natural things, He will tell you when and not, when to and when not to. You know, become better acquainted with the greater one on the inside of you. How do you do that? By fellowshipping and praying in the Spirit. My dad used to say all the time that we need to become more conscious of the greater one on the inside of us. And when we do, we learn to walk with Him, and He'll put us over in life. That's why we need to, he'd say, that's why you need to spend time praying in the Spirit. We need to realize that the Spirit has been given to us so we can do the right things at the right time. You know, I've learned to follow the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And that timing has helped me. You know, I started out, let me get the third one in here. We never get in a hurry over trying to get things to happen. It hooks right into that. Isaiah 28:16, the last part of that scripture said, whoever believes will not act hastily. You know, some people get in a hurry. Even though God tells them something, they get in a hurry. I have seen through the years ministers get in too big a hurry on their building project and it not turn out right. And sometimes because they's pushing the people so hard to come and work that they lost some people. Sometimes people hear from God and they know what to do, but they're not in the right timing. In 1980, I said we'd have Rhema Bible schools all over the world. But I got impatient and tried to make it happen. Guess what? It didn't happen. So I just backed off. And during that time, many people asked me, said, I thought you were going to have Ramas. I said, we are. I didn't have the slightest idea how it's going to happen. I knew what God said. So I backed off and I said, okay, it'll happen when the Lord says for it to happen. Now I got a point here. You need to realize that God may have said some things to you. You may have tried to make it happen and then it just didn't go right. Just put it on the shelf. Don't throw it away. Put it on the shelf and just wait. And in the early 2000s, we started. And now we have 250 in 51 nations. You see, back in 1980, I had the what, but I didn't have the when. Let me understand what I said to you. I had the what. I knew what we needed to do, but I didn't have the when. Did you ever notice God leads you that way sometimes so you can stay in faith? Some people give up when they try to make it happen. It don't work. They just give up. Well, if I'd have given up on the first two attempts, we wouldn't have the Ramas we have today. But I didn't give up. I just put it on the shelf and said, okay, I tried it. And the Lord wasn't in it. It wasn't until he said, you have a base now. And you have the personnel all over the world. Now it can happen. And it happened faster than I thought it was going to. It almost outrun me. In fact, there's one of them, Brother Spiros from Greece and the Albania area. We were just over there with Brother Spiros. Good to see you, man. Praise the Lord. And while we were there, he took us. We had one day, and we were able to go Acts 16:17, where Paul was over at Philippi, and then he went to preach in Berea, and then he went out by the stream, and there he saw Lydia, the seller of purple, and her family, and they were baptized in that little, and we went right to that little spot where they were baptized, and then we saw the Philippian dungeon where he was at. Thank the Lord. But you see, timing is important. You know, we knew when one person came to us and told us, I guess it's back in the 90s, that we needed a plane for this ministry because of what we were going to have to do. And I didn't know too much about it. Lynette wasn't in favor of it at all. But you know, and her story is because she had a fear of flying and God delivered her of that. But you know, we couldn't accomplish what we accomplished. But now we just didn't jump into it. We waited until the time. But we couldn't accomplish what we're accomplishing today without that aircraft. It's not some big fancy. I mean, it's not really nice. It's a 1989 model, but it's good, and it does the job. Hello. And it's been paid for a long time, number of years now. Hallelujah. But you see, we had to have the timing on that. Timing is important. Can you get a hold of what I've been trying to say to you tonight? No, I didn't realize it's past time to go. I'm sorry. Can any of you understand what I'm trying to get over to you tonight? About how in your natural life and in your spiritual life, timing is very important. You may know the what, but it's important to know the when. That's something you need to forget. See, there's a place that God wants us to go to. There are things that God wants to bring into our lives. But we're going to have to learn how to walk with Him and be in the right place at the right time. Hello. Be in the right place at the right time. That's in the natural world, people that have been discovered that are in certain positions and different things, it's because they were at the right place at the right time. You know, if any of you watch NASCAR and the Infinity series, which is the lower one, there's a young man running there named Christopher Bell driving the car 20. Cameron raced with him out here. We know him, raced with him out here in Port City in the little micros. But Chris Durfer just happened to be at the right place at the right time to get noticed and picked up by one of the teams. You see, it's important about timing. Work hard wherever you're at. Do your job, and when you do, you'll find that you'll be at the right place at the right time for the promotion. But if you are slack and get impatient and change jobs, you'll miss what God has for you. That's in the natural. In the spiritual, you have to learn to listen to the man on the inside as you pray. Too many people, God says, and I'm saying this as spirit, says, are waiting for some supernatural happening. But I'm speaking to them in the still small voice in their private life as they pray. He said, remember the prophet? There was an earthquake and there was fire and there was wind and all of that, but the Lord wasn't in it. See, today too many people, he's saying, are looking for the spectacular and missing my supernatural. But then there was the still small voice and the Lord was in it. Don't wait for a supernatural experience. Listen to the greater one that's on the inside of you, and you'll find that you'll come out on top every time. But get impatient and try to make it happen, and you'll find that things won't go right. But be patient and stand in faith, and you'll see that everything you need will be provided. And oh, what a great day. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Everybody stand and let's praise the Lord. I trust you got something out of this message tonight. It's an important subject. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that each of us will get a hold of the fact that we may know the what, but we need the timing. And help us to know the when. I thank you that you'd move in every individual's life. I thank you that as we spoke tonight, not everyone needed everything that was said, but somebody needed everything that was said. So may they take that to their heart. May they make any changes that need to be made. May they continue to move with you so that they will be a success naturally and spiritually. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I trust you received something tonight. That I just spoke to you out of my heart. You know, these Wednesday nights, I just like it. I like it to feel like that it's just me sitting down with you and we're having a conversation. That's what I try to make these Wednesday nights. I trust I'm accomplishing what I'm. Am I accomplishing what I'm trying to accomplish? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I'm, well, that wasn't a really good sermon. It might not have been a good sermon, but I want to tell you what, it had a lot of truth in it. It had a lot of stuff in it that'll help you if you'll listen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know him before you leave here. Or if you know what it is to serve God, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be, you need to rededicate your life. The ladies are over here. The men are over here. As we're dismissed, come to the front. They'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for anything, you want the Holy Spirit. You want to be prayed for healing. You want somebody to agree with you for a job. Anything that you want somebody to pray with you about, come down here to the front right now as we're dismissed. Hey, Connection T, go find our first-time guests. Take them to get that special gift that we have for them. And if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Come and join us. Come join us and be a part of our family. We are enjoying serving the Lord unlimited, both in the natural and the spiritual around here. We have a great time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, remember all the announcements. Continue to pray and believe God for camp meeting. We need people to get involved. You know where they are. We made the announcements. Go sign up. Go make sure you register ahead of time. We need everybody to register. Praise the Lord. Thank God for it's going to be a great camp meeting. I got something. It's going to be, but continue to pray and believe God. All right. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to learn how to get timing down with God. We'll see y'all Sunday morning right here. Come believing, come expecting. If you need prayer for salvation, rededication, you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. God bless you.